Hey everybody, Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is freeing America one enslaved mind at a time, and I should say what's left of America. And we've got our Latin American expert on with us today, and I'm getting news from south of the border, and that's what we're going to be talking about. I want to compare what our guest, Pastor Sam Arnold, has to say with what I am getting from my military sources, which is really interesting. And before we go there, though, I need to take care of some business. Ladies and gentlemen, the food buying land grab efforts on the part of the globalists is continuing unabated. It's accelerating. And soon, I believe the only food you're going to have is what's in your house. You need to put a lot of it in your house. You need to go to My Patriot Supply. You'll save $200 on an emergency order. They're also giving out other perks. You can look at that when you go to foodwithdave.com. That's foodwithdave.com. But I'll tell you what you will get solidly. 2,000 calories per day, restaurant quality, lots of diversity in the food, breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks for the kids, and you're going to get 25-year shelf life. I'm also going to say something off script. I think food hoarding laws are coming, and I would highly recommend that you learn to hide your food, and especially from intruders as well, too. So that's foodwithdave.com. And along those lines, if you have food, you darn well better have water. And if the grid goes down as being forecast, and if we go to war with Russia at any level, I do expect the grid to come down. Where will you get your water? Well, you can scavenge it, and that won't be hard to do. However, scavenging safe water to drink is another problem. So what you're going to need to do is have the best water filtration out there, and we have that for you. The Alexa Pure Pro Water Filter is number one. We published the research at waterwithdave.com. Additionally, there is a sale, but there's limited production. They never overproduce to keep the price down. So you're going to need to act now, and I recommend you get more than one because things get lost, broken, and stolen. So go to waterwithdave.com. Those are the two primary sponsors for what we're doing here, and we hope that you heed the warnings that we're giving you, because I hope that you wouldn't need these products, but I strongly believe you will. Sam, welcome to the show. Things are heating up. Trump is dissed Biden tremendously by telling his country, that he trusts Trump and Biden is a liar, and the rhetoric has started. Mexico has joined the BRICS nations for all intents and purposes. I'm getting huge reports, unceasing reports, Border Patrol, DHS, military, about massive Chinese troops inside of Mexico right now on the northern border. Care to take on any of those issues, Sam? Is that in your wheelhouse today?
All of that and more is in the wheelhouse. Thanks for having me, Dave.
Welcome.
I have been seeing Chinamen traveling on the highways of Mexico like not before, not people that speak some Spanish and have a business.
Mm-hmm.
Even those can be very dangerous. Those can be advanced troops that are preparing the way. But now there are more Chinamen in Mexico, and I have seen them. I think that you intended to say Andres Manuel, the president of Mexico, dissed Biden and sided with Trump. And yes, he has come out with a number of things, because the United States government has really attacked Mexico over the strength of the Mexican peso and over the new alliances that are beginning to be formed between Mexico and OPEC, Mexico being a significant petroleum producing country. And there's really a lot of tit for tat going on. Another thing that you did not bring up that I'd like to cover is the Vulcan company seizure, which this is right by Cancun. It's over there in Yucatan State, in beautiful paradise. And this American company has been running an extremely destructive underwater limestone blasting operation in that jewel of the Caribbean. And after numerous court processes, yes, the Mexican government came in and seized it after they found a favorable verdict in favor of Cementos Mexicanos, Cemex, to use that port. And probably it will be used for tourists uses instead of to be an armpit. It's really not what that piece of property should be used for. And the fact that there are American companies that try to treat Mexico that way, it should not be surprising to anyone that there's some pushback. from someone who's a real patriot and a real stand-up guy, like my president, Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador of Mexico.
Interesting. CEMEX in this country has been linked to some of the child trafficking. Do you concur with that?
Yes, because one of the stakeholders in that is former president Salinas de Gortari. And this is a very dangerous person. And my understanding is that he owns a significant stake in that company. But within Mexico, it's the Mexican company that really won the rights in court to break open by force that facility. And so this is a huge global company. There are some suspicious persons involved, but rather than look at that side of the company, it's important to see that this company has achieved victories in court for the use of that property, and that this is the way Andres Manuel is. When he came from the left to the presidency, finally, after being cheated out of it twice, he actually said in his comments about the arrest of Donald Trump, he said, "I condemn this because I suffered it." Because in Mexico, there was a desire, of course, by the swamp, that I would not be the candidate, that the people would not have a chance to vote for me at the urnas, at the polls. And so he said that what Donald Trump is suffering, he's suffering. And so this is a guy who is not the communist that the media has painted him to be. This is not a broad seizure of foreign companies, which is, of course, definitive of hard left presidencies, which I don't believe that AMLO is. But he's being painted as that because he's come out and seized this one property of this one company that is a problem for a number of reasons. So you're correct that there are some shady people involved with CEMEX, and we hope for that to be corrected also in due time. But it's very important for AMLO that he follows a due process and that the courts have their way and that things move forward. It's not just a military hammer strike.
Okay. All right. What about the Chinese troops? What do you know about that?
Okay. First time I've seen Chinese in Mexico that carried Chinese passports, for one. You know, these are not people from another Asian nation. They're not tourists. They are transiting Mexico for a clear purpose. And there were a lot of them, to the point where it was hard for me to get a seat to move north in the Republic. And just a lot of red flags with the Chinese that I saw. Now, this is one person in a couple of spots. So I'm really curious to hear from you what your military and border patrol sources are saying. But yes, there were Chinese moving north towards the border in Mexico that did not speak English or Spanish. And these were motley outfits, but mostly military age men. And so we need to remember that they don't all look like cadets and they're not all 20 years old and the same height and weight. You know, we're dealing with people with different hair, different, just unique individuals, but 80% men of military age. And then there were some women and children, which appeared to be the ones that knew where they were going. So, you know, those could be people that are running a restaurant or a laundry and have prepared the way for more people to come in. And then once we arrived at the station, that entire half bus load of people, one of the busloads of Chinese that I saw, disappeared. And so this is an organized underground railroad. Someone was waiting for them at the terminal to take them and keep them out of sight for the most part. But we made visual acquisition. So yes, it's happening. There are people transiting Mexico. And I wanted to suggest that it's very likely that they're coming from Honduras, because Honduras this week broke diplomatic relations with Taiwan. And so now Taiwan is down to only Guatemala, tiny Belize, and Paraguay as continental allies and trading partners. All of their other partners are islands, maybe one or two little nations in Africa. And so those islands have the same lacks as Taiwan has. these continental nations are very key for them to import natural resources, labor, things like that that just aren't available on an island, agricultural products, mining products. And so for Taiwan to lose Honduras as an ally, it's a huge blow to them. And the Taiwanese minister was furious when he made a statement to the press about this, that Red China using deceit and their economic might to lure away allies is something that will move forward the timetable to war. So where it's normally China rattling the saber, the Taiwanese actually rattled their swords back a little bit over the theft of Honduras. And the presidency in Honduras was another stolen election. It is Lady President Xiomara Castro, who is the wife of Zelaya, who was, I believe, president twice and is Hillary Clinton's good friend. And so you got a totally globalist regime in there that took over this great country. They threw the ex-president in jail. He's in jail. The same Manhattan court in the Southern District of New York that is coming after Trump threw the president of Honduras in prison. And he's in prison in the U.S. today, along with his brother, who is also a Honduran politician.
What was the charge, Sam?
Drugs. Because those two, Juan Orlando Hernandez and his brother Tony Hernandez, the Honduran senator, sent 32 drug traffickers that they arrested in Honduras to the U.S. for prosecution. So then, of course, the Manhattan DA's office went down and offered them all benefits if they testify against the very president that sent them up there and had them arrested. So, yeah, of course, they got plenty of turncoats.
Are you saying, wait a minute, hold, you went too fast over this. Are you saying Alvin Bragg was trying to persuade Honduran authorities to testify against Trump for illegal dealings in drugs?
No. The Honduran president and his brother, the senator, sent 32 drug traffickers to the U.S. for prosecution, and the DA's office approached those convicts, those Hondurans that are incarcerated in the United States. And those are the witnesses that were used to convict the Hernandez brothers, including the president, former president of Honduras. Who stopped the caravans?
Trump stopped the caravans. Hold on. We can't go too fast over this. This is critical. Okay, so these 32 criminals are extradited to New York. And is this where Alvin Bragg enters in and he links these 32 and their, shall we say, motivated testimony against the president of Honduras?
Now, I never heard Alvin Bragg's name in the Hernandez trials, but it is that office in the Southern District of New York and the Manhattan.
Well, it's probably a federal prosecutor, but they're not doing this without Alvin Bragg's participation, I guarantee you.
Yes, I think it predates him before he took the headship of that office. But the precedent has been set. A lot of Americans think, oh, yeah, this talk of arresting Trump, this is kangaroo court, that'll never happen. Well, I'm following all of these other presidencies where the president and ex-president has been arrested, has been thrown in the dungeon. The ex-president of Bolivia, Janina Añez Chávez, is in the dungeon today. She was smart enough to flee the country when she left the presidency, and she was kidnapped from Trinidad, a Caribbean island nation and a sovereign nation of Trinidad and Tobago. And the Venezuelans, or the Bolivians, excuse me, came into that sovereign nation, grabbed her off the street, and exported her, deported her. It was a rendition, 1,000 kilometers back to Bolivia, threw her in the gulag. And what's her crime? She took the Bible into the presidential palace and sent her police and military against the famous cocaine-producing regions of Bolivia. So the precedent is laid. Juan Orlando Hernandez, the president of Honduras, is in a U.S. jail. Janine Añez Chávez is in a Bolivian, a terrible dungeon in Bolivia. And there are many, many other examples. The president of Ecuador, Lenin Moreno, the only head of state to use a wheelchair and a good friend of Donald Trump, he fled to Paraguay, when his presidential term expired because they were coming after him. Now his successor is in power in Ecuador. And so Ecuador is one of the few democracies that's hanging on just by their teeth and toenails, Dave. And I know you've got a lot of friends that moved there. It's hanging on. And then they get struck by a significant earthquake. So there's concern in a lot of places.
Air Force owning the weather, 2025, earthquake weapons. That's correct. I have contact with someone who was part of that organization at one time.
In this case, Dave, I am very concerned that it is a weather weapon that caused that earthquake. It was right on the Peru-Ecuador border, and those are the two nations where there is a democratic government that's hanging on in South America. There's very little else. And so for that earthquake to strike right there, they've got basically indigenous armies coming across the border from Bolivia into Peru and causing chaos, shutting down highways, and they call it protests, mostly peaceful, right? And then after all of that unrest, bam, the earthquake hits. But the ex-president there is hiding out in Paraguay, still has a conservative government and a Taiwan allied government, a little bit Bushite, but it's one of the few. And so that's where Lenin Moreno is hanging out to avoid pre-trial arrest.
This seems to be a similar pattern to what's being applied to Donald Trump. You want to respond to that? And then I've got something else for you, too. You said you wanted information on what I know about Mexico from my sources, and I'll be happy to do that. But do you think these takedowns of presidents is all part of a collective action to get national alignment with the World Economic Forum?
Yes, it is, Dave. Yes, it is. You know, I don't take kids out deer hunting their first time. I take them out squirrel hunting. Then they bag some squirrels, learn to sit still, bag some rabbits. Then we practice with a bigger gun, and then maybe they get a chance to go for the deer. So this is what's been done with these other presidents of smaller nations with more of a banana republic history, is they have been prosecuted. They've been prosecuted, and all of these are practice strokes for Donald Trump. They're all practices to get the United States away from any of candidate that's of the people and by the people, and especially Donald Trump. They stole the election once, but now a lot of people are waking up. And another thing that's happened in Latin America is they're not waiting for the election year. The presidencies are turned over all the time. And so while there's a lot of talk about 2024 in the USA, just understand that the enemy's plan is to cause chaos. The enemy's plan is to turn out the lights and to cause global war before there's even an opportunity for Trump to be president, but also to take him off the street. And so do not anyone discount the Trump arrest. Everyone needs to be very vigilant, and everyone needs to be asking themselves what they would do if their civil decision at the ballot box is stolen from them. What would you do?
It's happened in the last two elections, and they did nothing. That's what concerns me. Let me go to answering your question you brought up earlier. And the information I'm getting really concerns two different localities. One is the immediate border. The number one apprehended group right now in the Southwest is Chinese. That's being kept out of the media. DHS is trying to obfuscate the figures, but I'm getting the word from on the ground. And it's also happening at the northern border here, and I'm getting a troubled signal here on our signal, Sam. Let me see if we can't ride this out here for a second. Sam, you're frozen in time. We'll just have to reconnect. And ladies and gentlemen, we've rejoined Sam Arnold. Folks, if you think this is a coincidence that this interview was disconnected at the very point I was starting to reveal what's going on with Chinese and our borders, think again. Sam, are you with me?
I am.
Sam, you're going to have to boost your volume significantly.
you had mentioned the Canadian border also.
Yeah, let me repeat what I said because I'm not sure where I got cut off. The Border Patrol is telling me that the number one apprehended group are Chinese nationals, and that that's being obfuscated with the data. Basically, Mayorkas is fraudulently handling data, and the media won't cover it. Also, at the northern border in Canada, we're seeing two groups come in that are surprising. Number one are massive amounts of Chinese. This is Border Patrol secondhand. One Border Patrol agent in Montana is telling a Border Patrol agent in Arizona, who tells me. So I admit that's secondhand, but it fits the pattern of the southern border. Additionally, they're catching Mexicans at record levels at the northern border. And you're thinking, wait a minute, why the hell would a Mexican have to go to the northern border and just openly walk across the southern border? That's because they're doing a lot of illegal things, and they don't want to be caught by the wrong Border Patrol agent. And that's why they're going north. Okay, so that's one. The reports I'm getting are massive Chinese coming in at the border entry. Now, with military sources, I'm being told quite clearly by multiple sources that there are an unknown number, because the number varies. I've been told there are 250,000 Chinese troops in civilian clothing that have crossed over our border. And that's from a military source. I've been told, and Sam, I'm getting reverberation back in my ear from something on your side. When I'm talking, I'm getting my words repeated back to me. So I don't know if you have any control over that or not. So, ladies and gentlemen, this happens when you reveal sensitive information. But we'll hope that you can put up with the nuisance in the audience right now and let me continue with the numbers. I've been told there's 1 to 2 million Chinese troops in Mexico itself. You alluded to this in an earlier interview with regard to the criminal in the northern state of Tamaulipas, and they were housing both illegal immigrants before they opened the border, and then they were also housing Chinese soldiers. So this shouldn't be surprising to you, but let me go one step further. When I was working with Doug Thornton, and he was happened to come on my show in a covert fashion because he was still active DHS, and he was supervisor in charge in Portland, they uncovered, and they also uncovered this in Seattle, and also, gosh, I think it was in Tennessee, if I'm not mistaken, three communist Chinese weapons caches laying dormant. The thinking at the time is that they were for Antifa, because this is when the 570-odd riots were going on in the summer of 2020. But now when we put the lens of history on us and take a 30,000-foot view, the consensus is these weapons caches were for the communist Chinese troops crossing the border for future use. They're implanting commandos and maybe even regular forces, and they have weapons caches awaiting them. That's what I've got, Sam.
Okay. Another thing that the president of Mexico recently stated in his interview is he responded to the accusation, I believe by Antony Blinken, but a cabinet official. And the accusation was that the Mexican government does not have control of large swaths of their country. And the Mexican president denied that, but you and I have discussed before that it is partially true. That there are governorships, there are mayor offices that are occupied by the old government and by very corrupt officials. And in Tamaulipas state, we did succeed in praying out and voting out Cabeza de Vaca, who's now openly living in Texas and apparently good buddies with Governor Greg Abbott, who you'll notice Greg Abbott did not show up at the Trump rally in Waco yesterday. Only Dan Patrick and Ken Paxton showed up to greet their president. So Greg Abbott is in with that guy, yeah, and there are parts of the United States that are not under law and order for the exact same reason. So even though the president of Mexico denied that, I will say that it is partly true, and only now is the central government sending in military operations, military forces, prosecutors, which are a type of police from the Central Attorney General's office in Mexico City, to make high-profile arrests the president of Mexico is now doing that in the northern states, especially the three central states, because they're still controlled by the PAN and the Orange Party, Movimiento Ciudadano. And so those states are Chihuahua and Nuevo León, where the great city of Monterrey is, and Sonora also, and one more, Coahuila, Torreón, Coahuila. So those four states, which are the central states, not the West Coast, not the East Coast, but what's up against Arizona, New Mexico, and West Texas, are they're still corrupt governorships and corrupt mayoral officers. And so that's where you see the cartel just sitting on a hilltop. They have an installation there. They have fortifications, sandbags, weapons, food, and it's a constantly manned post right up against the Arizona border. The reason that you see that is because these corrupt officials, and then, of course, they have their kissing cousins on the American side, like that gal that stole the election there in Arizona.
Oh, Katie Hobbs, yeah. You know, there's something I should throw in here too, Sam, because you're in a foreign country, we don't talk every day. Is there any way you can silence that reverberation coming through your mic? It's my voice. I don't know if turning your headphones down would help, but it's coming through in a repeat. It's going to annoy the audience.
Go ahead now.
Okay. There was I haven't talked too much about this, if at all, the Brager Report from John Thaler's organization. It's a nonpartisan law firm. And I've told you before about the takeover of the Sinaloas of Arizona State recreational marijuana, and that they have complicit participation with present and past legislators. And when a realtor in Prescott, Arizona, discovered this by pulling financial records, the county clerk and recorder who's funded what was funded at the time by George Soros, she obviously reported the pulling the records, which showed $20,000 plots of land being sold for $500,000, and we linked it right into money laundering for the Sinaloas and paying off politicians. Katie Hobbs is mentioned in the Brager Report, which has thousands of pages of documentation of receiving $500,000 along these lines. The Secretary of State for Arizona, Adrian Fontes, he defended the Fast and Furious cartel members that murdered Agent Brian Terry in the Fast and Furious breakup of that ring that led to Eric Holder's resignation as the Attorney General. And then to go further, they said basically the report that was given to a select committee of the Arizona legislature about 5 or 6 weeks ago, the Brager Report basically implied this. In Maricopa County and across the state of Arizona, it's easier to find local officials. Let's put it this way. It's harder to find local officials who aren't on the take from the Sinaloa cartel money laundering. Their typical thing they do is create a phony mortgage company. It doesn't exist. Fake signatures. And then they launder money that way, and they use it to pay off the politicians. They recruit lawyers that later become judges, so they never have to worry about court cases going against them or the voter fraud. Because remember, the Sinaloas work for the Chinese. They're the main distributors of fentanyl on behalf of the Chinese, which is killing 100,000 people a year in the United States, most of them males of military age. So that has a clear military implication to it. But I won't go any farther, any depth in this, Sam, but a lot of the things that we have implied over the last several years are born in the Brager Report. And like I said, the experience I had when that realtor uncovered that plot, she was the victim of an assassination plot. Her boyfriend was shot in the head. The gun aimed at her misfired. The boyfriend kept consciousness and shot the assailant. And now the corrupt officials in her county are only prosecuting this person on the lesser of all charges. Should be attempted first-degree murder. That's what the cops said when they came to the scene. But that's not what they're doing. And these are the same prosecutors that let Hunter Biden walk from the Prescott Airport after he got caught with crack cocaine in the backseat of his rental car. And this made national news. And they refused to prosecute him. So that kind of tells you even in the most conservative county in Arizona, which is Yavapai. It was the home of the beginning of the militia movement, along with Michigan. And even in that county, where everyone's diehard conservative, it's absolutely incredible the degree of corruption that's happening. The cartels have effectively taken over Arizona politics, and I'm not exaggerating on that point, Sam.
That's what we're seeing on both sides of the border to some degree. We really need to make both of our nations great again. We really need a movement of patriots. It's not going to be long before the battle will come, before literal gunfire will come for every American that loves his country and wants to make America great again. I really hope that this delusion and normalcy bias can be broken before it's too late, because if there's hesitation, this is how Mortal Kombat is lost. I really hope that Americans wake up and just realize that our nation's in a fight for its life and a fight for its existence, and it is already kinetic. And we'll all know that very clearly when the lights go out. The theme for my show this week on Living by the Sword, my shortwave show, totally uncensored, is boom, boom, out go the lights. So we're playing some rhythm and blues, but we're also talking about Mortal Kombat and what happens in the dark when the lights are out. I really hope that Americans take the advice of Donald Trump and decide to be a little bit proactive right now, because time is short.
Yeah, I agree, but it's even gone beyond what you've said. Let me give you two more examples that we know of here that's been in the news, and I'll get your reaction to the hypothesis at the end. Three Maricopa County sheriff's deputies have been busted for huge trafficking of drugs involving the Sinaloa cartel, and two Phoenix police officers. All of them, all five, are Hispanic. And I told this story to Floyd Brown, the founder of Western Journal, on the show earlier in the week. And Floyd, he's acknowledged some knowledge of this stuff. But let me just say this very, very clearly. All five of these men are Hispanic. And I believe it's not that they have family members in the United States that can be touched by the Sinaloas, but they have family members on the other side of the border where the Sinaloas would not hesitate to commit mass murder if these people didn't do what they were told. What's your reaction to this story?
I think that the threat of violence is always a possibility. I think it's more the corruption has spread and the money has spread. People are willing to put in their lot, and it is they who get trapped after taking the bait a few times. We need a people of sterling character that will not accept any selling out of their nation or any bribery or any corruption, and that will be prepared also to defend communities. This is something that made America great, is that communities were prepared to defend themselves. Now we really don't see that. Now we see a soft underbelly bedroom communities where it's easy for hardened gangsters with political protection roll in and take scores and make hits. So we need to take that back from them as Americans. And this is where people have to decide to get some skin in the game and to get in the fight.
I don't know how we combat this. I mean, I said this 10 years ago. I said, if we don't control the border, this side of the border will soon look like Mexico. And it's beginning to happen. The only thing is, I don't think they would murder the families of police officers yet, because they don't want to draw attention to this. But I don't think it'll be long.
Everybody's talking about President Nayib Bukele of El Salvador, who's just finishing up his four-year presidential term. The Constitution has been altered to allow him to run again, and he will likely be the president again. His approval rating has maintained over 90%, basically his whole presidency. And he has taken a tough hand. He's put the military in the streets. They've rounded up these troublemakers and built new, bigger jails to stuff them in. And now people made fun of him to start with. And then the NGOs and the fake news had campaigns against him. But now all the world is taking notice. hey, this is how you take your country back. And Dave, if you wanted to go down and buy a ticket and surf El Salvador this weekend, you can do it. It's safe. So now we have that example, and Americans are talking about it. But one thing that Nayib Bukele has done is he's shied away from the death penalty. And I'm not sure, there may be constitutional roadblocks for that. There are in Mexico. But there comes a point where the death penalty has to be on the table. And a lot of times when there's a breakdown of civil order, taking prisoners is not possible. You just can't keep them. It requires a war of attrition, and that will be the case on both sides. And if someone doesn't know what happens when the lights go out, I'll tell you what, everybody's going to be coming for you. The person who built America, the person who's maintained a job, the person who has brought forth children into the world under wedlock, you're the person that the bad guys are coming for. And I've worked in disaster zones. I know what happens when the lights go out. Even if you put 10 times the normal amount of officers and patrol cars on the street, there are people creeping around every bush in the darkness. And the only way to solve that is gunfire.
Talk to me about Red Dawn and the current status. Has things changed? Has it become more likely, less likely, no change? How do you see this?
The influx of migrants was bad, and then it got worse. Now it has just ballooned to a stratospheric level, and it's gotten redder. All my time in Mexico and in airports, I just don't think that I've ever seen a Chinese passport, and to see a dozen guys walking around with them and then get on my bus and not speak English or Spanish, that's happening now. And so aside from the numbers, let's talk about not the quantity, but the quality. They are a lot redder than before. But even that being the case, the president of Mexico working so hard to build up his nation and for his nation to be a nation of laws and his military honest, that has caused U.S. politicians to work Red Dawn in reverse and say, let's invade Mexico. Let's send in the army. Oh, quote, marks in the air to get the cartels. No, it's not to get the cartels. It's to destabilize the legitimate central government of Mexico City. And now we've got these Bushite neoliberals that are all for that. We've got Crenshaw in Texas. He co-wrote the bill about why the military should go into Mexico. And just understand, it's not about fighting drugs. It's about the Bush never-ending wars on drugs that just cause more criminality, more militarization of police, more shootings in the streets on both sides, and more collateral damage. And so right now, what we're looking at, aside from this huge migrant surge, is Red Dawn being worked in reverse, where the U.S. government is actually talking seriously about sending the U.S. military into Mexico to cause chaos. The Mexican president said that Mexico will not allow that. I got to give a shout out because I got sent a clip on Twitter from Don't Let the Bastardos Get You Down, and I had not seen this clip from the Mexican president where he talked about the U.S. talks about human rights. Well, why don't they release Julian Assange? You're talking about a journalist. Journalism is fundamental to any kind of a democratic nation. And here you've got this journalist, and the U.S. won't release him. Why? And this same nation is criticizing Mexico and other nations about our record of human rights. And then he went into the arrest of President Trump and how that's just a banana republic out of sight. And so who's he talking about? The USA. This is where we're getting Red Dawn in reverse, the U.S. Army crossing the Rio Grande.
I agree. That's the propaganda, but I'm becoming more concerned about the reality of military crossing the border. I mean, I think we already have fifth column here, Sam. There's no question. Inside the border with weapons caches awaiting. But I'm talking about organized military effort to cross the border.
I'm not seeing that the hardware is in place to do that. I'm seeing the human element being the greater danger, and there being hidden weapons caches, and the bountiful weapon sources that are just right there in the USA. I mean, you think the Chinese haven't bought into some gun stores? They're in every other industry. They own all six of our movie houses. They own farmland from coast to coast. I think they own plenty of gun stores. So it'd be very easy for a fifth column to be armed inside the United States. We really don't need tanks to come from Mexico into the U.S. But the fact is there could be any number of fully kitted Chinese in these expansive factory complexes, expansive wind farms. They have mostly gotten rooted out of Pemex, which is why here the American government is ticked off about what Pemex is doing. But there are also mountain ranges that are very remote. And so there could be any number of Chinese hiding in there.
Yeah, I get that too. But let me tell you what they'd have to do. Number one, they would have to take down American air cover. And this is where I think I need to bring in the past to now from, what was it? Gosh, eight years ago, 9 years ago, the Clive and Bundy situation near Nellis Air Force Base. Harry Reid's son, Peter Reid, was paid $5 million by the communist Chinese to facilitate the building of a solar energy farm on the Bundy BLM part of their land. And the Bundys vehemently opposed it. Now, I know some people in the Bundy family, one of their relatives, when she comes to town, we have dinner. And I asked her, I said, did you know about this? And she says, well, we knew that they were trying to put a solar farm in there. I don't know the detail you're giving. Sam, it gets worse. At the same time that this was going on, I started to get reports that North Korean made localized EMP weapons that could knock down craft on landing and takeoff, and maybe even up to about 8,000 to 10,000 feet, were being distributed to the American Southwest. And I have the case where they beta tested it. It was an Iraqi general flying out of Luke, and his plane just dropped from the radar near Douglas, Arizona on the border. So the rescue crews went and they were trying to find him. They found the craft, but they couldn't find him. And then they realized, holy crap, the guy's still in the craft. He never issued a mayday call. He never attempted to bail out. And he was with his craft on impact. He was hit with an EMP weapon, one of these localized weapons. I had run stories on this technology at the border in detail 6 months prior to this event. And if you're going to invade the American Southwest, you have to take down the planes from Nellis, Luke, and Davis-Monthan Air Force Bases. And you probably would have to get into California, which is no problem because Newsom's totally controlled by the communist Chinese. And so you have to negate American air power. And then there's a parallel story. Do you recall the journalist that showed videos? Oh, gosh, I can't remember how long ago, Sam, of tanks in the jungles in Mexico that were being hidden in the jungles. Do you recall that story?
That was Alex Newman.
Yes.
And I follow him. He's extremely credible. He speaks Spanish and English.
Did you give credibility to that story? Because I know that I did.
I did give credibility to that. Now he was talking about the other end of the country down against Central America, against Guatemala, against Belize. And that is the likely place for significant weapons caches to be stored. In the north, those weapons would have to be moved across the country, and it would be a lot more difficult in Mexico, which is more open country.
Yeah, I hear you. But you could move it in days. And the other thing, and you're absolutely right about what you're saying, it was in the southern part of the country. But at the same time, there was a parade in Nicaragua, in Managua, and Russian tanks were parading through the streets. I had pictures I published on this.
Well, they imported some new ones, and this is the new Russian cooperation with their historic allies, the same troika of tyranny. That's Venezuela, Cuba, and Nicaragua. Those are nations that the Russians know they can snap their fingers and get instant cooperation, especially since they'll be paying for things and greasing a few palms. But there is also now, we're going to see cooperation with other nations. Russia has invited all of Latin America to joint military exercises. So those could be land, air, and sea exercises. And we have not seen which nations are going to accept that, but I guarantee that there are talks that different nations are speaking about Russian cooperation. Argentina is talking about buying fighter jets from China. The YF-17 or the J-17 fighter, I have it here in another window. That is a that's a major deep getting into bed when a nation buys fighter jets from another nation, because they're captive. The market is captive for parts, training, equipment, replacements, compatible weapons that are consumable stocks. And so the fact that that's under discussion, even now as the Argentine peso is really a donut, it's really got zero value right now. And so Argentina is looking to move to a different currency, whether that means that they're amalgamated by Brazil or whether they go straight to the Chinese currency or whether they go to a BRICS currency. It would be an ideal place for a BRICS currency to get its start in Argentina with their leftist government. They'll never get their nation back. There's even an opposition candidate right now that everybody likes. But it's just not going to happen because the voting system is unreformable. This is something that Trump talked a lot about yesterday in Waco. He actually said paper ballots. If anybody wonders who the guy with the red tie was in Des Moines that shouted out paper ballots to the president twice, it was me back when I used to caucus in Iowa and visit my home state and work a little bit there and uncover election fraud. And so President Trump talked about that yesterday, and the Mexican president is really trying to drain his swamp in the National Electoral Institute of Mexico because it's so strong. Even though they have biometric federal voter ID, still I'm getting personal reports of, I was not in the state, Sam, and somebody voted with my name. I went and voted, and then I was informed that someone tried to vote my ID again. So there's a deep swamp within that electoral institute in Mexico and in the United States, despite its attempts to fight it. And in Argentina, there's no effort to fight it. It's just part of the established order. And so, yeah, China is getting into the Americas, and so is Russia. I'm more concerned about the Chinese influence myself.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you bring up the elections aspect of it. This is something I want to bring out to the forefront once again. When I wrote my report in May of 2021 about how the 2020 election was stolen, mostly centering on Maricopa County, what we had were election officials by law that had to maintain election codes, which means they had to have the codes to handle the voting machines, because if they malfunction or whatever, they have to be able to respond to them in real time to keep the election running smoothly. Well, these election officials in Maricopa County were denied the election codes. And how do I know? Because when the election audit was going on by a corrupt state senator leading it, Karen Fan, she basically did not push this point. And these people were pissed because they knew that they should have had control over the Dominion voting machines in their particular areas, and they did not. And then I had on Chris Kitsey, who's got an interesting background, I'll just leave it at that. And he said, Dave, that's because the votes were counted in China. And let me tell you what happened in between. People found this out. I printed what Chris said, and I ran our interview in which he said this. And people started picking up on it. And I got, oh, man, you want to be attacked? Just print something like this. And I did. And 13 of my colleagues were contacted within 6 hours. Paul Preston was threatened with his life if he kept supporting me. Sarah Westall said, your career will be over if you support Dave Hodges. And that's because I hit a nerve with the Dominion voting machine codes. Now, two judges came out because some activists got a hold of this and sued, and two judges agreed. In separate rulings, they ordered the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors, who were in control of the election codes, to release them. to this day, they have not complied with these court orders. And to make matters worse, the attorney general, the former attorney general, issued a legal opinion, said you must release the codes. And why wouldn't they release the codes? Because it would have shown that these votes were counted in China. And I'm telling you, Sam, what you're describing to me in South America, I've been there, done that. They're stealing the elections in South America, particularly Brazil, in the same manner.
Absolutely, they stole Brazil in exactly that way, along with a media blockout. What's with these new words like backstop? I've never heard backstop used in conjunction with banking before.
No, I haven't either.
Just that you have a backstop, but now they're using it as a verb. They're going to combat bank failures or whatever. So yes, there's a media blackout and a Twitter blackout in Brazil, and then of course they use their funky voting machines, and the State Department sent in a whole anti-voter fraud contingent months ahead of the election, which all they were doing was paving the way for voter fraud and for theft of that election. That's absolutely what's happened. I know we're short on time. I wanted to mention one quick thing. Greg Abbott was at the Trump rally, and so was Ted Cruz. There's a great article on MSN.com, and this says that Trump snubbed Greg Abbott and two-time Senator Ted Cruz. They were there. They were in the crowd, and the president did not acknowledge them, while in Abbott's case, acknowledging his lieutenant governor, Dan Patrick. So this is the war that we're engaged in. Those are some rhinos that are coming out against Trump. They haven't really staked out that they're going to support DeSantis, but there is some serious friction and bad blood even within the Republican Party.
DeSantis has no chance at this point in time because Trump can overcome sabotage from Mitch McConnell, and also Rona McDaniel, the head of the RNC, who they will pull funding for Trump. They tried it in 2016. Trump overcame it with a lot of his own funds and his own fundraising. He can do it again. DeSantis is not well established nationally. He cannot win an election because these same forces will work against him. And people, I know what I'm talking about because Mitch McConnell and Rona McDaniel pulled funding from 8 GOP senatorial races for America First candidates that they've pledged to get rid of. Fellow Republicans doing this to Republicans, and 6 of those elections were lost. All 8 were winnable. And this is what DeSantis would face, and this is what Trump will face, but Trump has shown he can overcome that. DeSantis needs to become Trump's VP. And I know people get mad when I say that, but I want DeSantis to be president eventually, but he's got to ride some coattails to be able to pull this off.
I like Carrie Lake. I want an American.
She hasn't held office, though. And you're right. Carrie Lake will be a generational candidate. And she was sabotaged by Bill Gates and some of the rest of the Maricopa County Board of Supervisors who say they're Republicans. Remember, they're the ones that presided over 60% of voter machine failures at the same time at the opening of heavily Republican districts in Maricopa County, in which Carrie Lake got 3 out of 4 votes in that county on day of voting. Total criminal corruption. But see, these rhinos, this is why I'm not a Republican, Sam. These rhinos have pledged with the Democrats to get rid of America First candidates. Mitch McConnell and Chuck Schumer, this was public, made an agreement. So we're being sabotaged from within as well. We got the Red Dawn to worry about. We got more election fraud to worry about. We got treasonous Republicans to worry about. This is why we got an uphill battle. Well, we're almost out of time, and I wanted to give you a chance to talk about where we can find your good work.
Thanks, Dave. My main site is gospelgunslingers.com. You can search Gospel Gunslingers on any engine and find your way to my Twitter, to my YouTube channel, where I go live from time to time. And I have a blog on Subscribestar that not very many people read, but boy, is there some information on there that would be very helpful for anybody who's watching Latin America.
And on that note, Sam, we got to scoot. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll have Sam on again. We got a lot of unanswered questions. Thanks so much, Sam. Take care.